Morning. My name is Jeremy Africa, and as the lead pastor of Midland First United Methodist Church, and on the behalf of all who are helping to lead worship this morning, we welcome you and we're grateful for this opportunity to worship with you this morning. As we begin our time in worship, I do want to highlight some announcements that we have in our weekly e-blast or weekly email to the congregation about ways to stay connected with the church. If you aren't receiving those, I certainly invite you to contact the church office that you might be included in the emails. First, I want to remind us of the start of our 10 a.m. blended service. This will be on January 12th. And with our need to discontinue our 11 a.m. service, we're moving to the one service at 10 a.m. This service will blend all of our musical groups and choirs into a service that fits a traditional order of service. The music will include everything from contemporary praise music to our traditional church hymns and anthems. Later this week, there will be a letter being sent out to the congregation by email, and so I encourage you to look for that for more information about this new blended service. Also want to remind you or let you know of a town hall coming up. This, too, is on Sunday, January 12th. It will be at 11:15 in the chapel with childcare available. The hope is that by scheduling the town hall immediately after our worship service makes it a more convenient time for most to attend. This hour-long town hall will focus on the healing process that we will begin in January here at the church. And this process is a means and a path for us to address hurts that we've encountered as a congregation around pastoral tenures, transitions, and our life as a congregation. At this town hall, I will present an overview of this process, and afterwards, there will be a time for questions and answers. As always, everyone in the congregation is invited to participate in these town hall meetings. Given the focus of this town hall, I'd like to encourage everyone to attend this meeting, as the healing we seek may serve as a key step in our journey to being even more unified and more vibrant as a church. It'll be my dream that we have to move out of the chapel and move perhaps here into the sanctuary as we share all this information about this important path that we will be starting in January. If you have any questions about this town hall or the healing process, I encourage you to ask any member of the Strategic Leadership Council or myself. Finally, want to share with you about our office hours this coming week. And in observance of New Year's Day, the church office will be open only on Thursday this week, January 2nd. Additionally, I'll be off on vacation from January 2nd through the 5th. And with that, Pastor Bethany Macieski will be the one preaching this coming Sunday. So please be mindful of this as we turn towards the new year. Speaking of which, God's blessings and best to all as we welcome in this new year. May the coming year be filled with God's life-changing grace and presence in your life. And with all this, I'm going to invite us who are here in the sanctuary to stand and to greet one another as we step into worship, and I'll call us back with the bell. Thank you.
What a gift it is that God loves us and chooses us. We are called to forgive as we have been forgiven. Remember, you who have been redeemed, the Lord's great mercy. What a gift it is to give our thanks and praise to the God the Most High and be the body of Christ on earth.
I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us in our opening hymn, He is Born, found on page 228 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
The children come forward, please. Happy New Year! Happy. That was so loud, I know. I probably shouldn't have done that, but got to have a little bit of fun in this life. Good morning, everybody. So glad to see you. Today in Sunday school, we are celebrating the new year because we won't be here on Tuesday and Wednesday. So it's Happy New Year Sunday. And let us pray a prayer for the new year. Dear God, thank you for all of the exciting things this new year will bring. Thank you for the chance to make changes and set goals. Please help me to be realistic and remind me to keep trying even when I fail. And thank you that you give me a fresh start every day. I know you are beside me to cheer me on. It's good to share plans and encourage each other. Thank you for this new year. Amen. And we'll go to the learning table.
Oh, many a bird did wake and fly, kuru. Did we? on Christmas Day in the morning. Coo-roo, 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 coo-roo. The owl was there, his eyes so wide, coo-roo. Christmas Day in the morning, coo-roo, 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 coo-roo. The shepherd knelt upon the hay, coo-roo, coo-roo, coo-roo. The shepherd knelt upon as angels sang the night away, and God proclaimed the holy day. Coo-roo, 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 coo-roo.
And now we come to a time of offering. If the ushers would please come forward. Lord, you are worthy of all of our praise. May the offering of these gifts bring you praise and the way that they are used as well. Lord, we thank you for each and every gift that you give us because you are the giver of every good gift. And it's to your honor and glory that we give them and ask that you use them for the building up of your kingdom and the proclamation of the gospel. Pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel one another with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Advent is purposefully a season of anticipation. Along with much of the world, we used the four Sundays and the ensuing days leading up to Christmas to mark time and to prepare for all that there is to celebrate. This sense of anticipation can be even more significant within the church, as we can also use this season to consider, to prepare, to anticipate Christ's return and when Christ will make all things yet new again. So considering all this, it seems only fair to acknowledge that these days immediately following Christmas can be somewhat of a kind of a letdown. Much like those ever so popular inflatable Christmas lawn decorations. Ever come across those in the early morning? I mean, they're so joyful at night, right? They fill the air with such spirit and a glow. But you come across them in the morning, and they're just all deflated. I couldn't help but knowing that I was going to be preaching this morning. They all caught my eye on the way from the parsonage to the church, and how deflating this time can be. In some sense, having just celebrated Christmas, no less with all the preparations involved with it, aren't many of us asking, well, now what? What are we to do about Christmas beyond the 25th? Granted, the lectionary, in other words, the church's calendar, has us celebrate Christmas through the day of Epiphany on January 6th, which is how we get the 12 days of Christmas. There's no arguing that the rest of the world has already moved on. All too soon, if not already, shelves filled with deeply discounted Christmas items will soon be replaced with Valentine's Day-themed gifts. In the meantime, it won't be long before all the pine needles are vacuumed up from our rugs, and what remains of our Christmas trees, for many of us, are set alongside the curb. With this seemingly unceremonious end to our Advent journey and to the Christmas season, it seems that we're often left asking, especially in the church, well, what are we to do now? What are we to do with Christmas beyond the 25th? Perhaps Paul's letter in Colossians, which Pastor Bethany just read, provides a possible answer for us this morning. Now, I don't mean to suggest that Paul is responding here to our question of our day, of how we are to live having just celebrated Christmas, having just celebrated Christ's birth. Indeed, Paul had no way of knowing about the sometimes frenetic attention span of our times. Instead, Paul's letter in Colossians addresses false teachings that were taking root among believers in the city of Colossae. But in responding to these false teachings, Paul also happens to lay out a path for all who have welcomed Christ as Lord, as the one who rules in their lives. And I believe his response here might answer the very question we're seeking to resolve as to what we're to do about Christmas beyond the 25th. Here in Colossians chapter 3, Paul reminds us that as the people of God, God calls us to clothe ourselves. If we want to read this in a literal sense, God calls us to put on these Christ-like virtues that Paul lists in his letters. These virtues of mercy and of kindness, of humility, gentleness, patience, yes, a willingness to forgive, and most of all, the virtue of love. When I hear this, I envision that Paul is reminding us that this is what people ought to see in us as followers of Jesus Christ. Even more so than the clothes that we might happen to choose to put on our back that day, these are the virtues that people ought to see in us as followers of Christ. And should we have any question as to what these virtues look like, we only need to turn our eyes to the child whose birth we celebrated just days ago, who indeed grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, having walked among us. And so if we need a reminder, perhaps mercy and kindness looks like one who is willing to touch the untouchable, to spend time with people who are on the outskirts and on the outside, and to welcome those who are otherwise overlooked. And perhaps gentleness looks like one who might let the little children come to him, saying, "Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." There's no doubt Paul is suggesting that people ought to be reminded of Jesus when they glance our way and see the very virtues that we've chosen to clothe ourselves with. However, I suppose the challenge here is not necessarily remembering what virtues are Christ-like. While we may not be able to list them specifically or in the order that Paul lays them out for us here in his letter, I'm confident that we could collectively come up with a very similar list off the cuff. In part, this is what it means to be created within God's image. But keeping all this in mind, I wonder if the challenge for many of us lies in what Paul concludes with in verse 17. "And whatever you say or whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Everything? Yes, everything we are to do as representatives of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him. Quite some time ago, Cara, my wife, and I hosted our Thanksgiving gathering. And knowing that at that time our gathering would include three nieces and a nephew who were all under the age of 5, I thought it would be fun to have a children's movie as part of our gathering. This is long before the days where we could stream everything into our homes as we wish. And so I wanted to be the Funkle, right? There's two uncles in this family, and I was determined early on to be the fun uncle between my brother and I. And so I drove to Best Buy, and I perused the Blu-ray disc. Remember those round things that you put in the machine and played a movie for you? I decided I'd peruse the Blu-ray disc and see what movie's out that the kids might enjoy. And so in my infinite wisdom, that is very much limited, I picked up the Disney movie Up. Anybody remember the movie Up? Yeah, cute movie, yes? Well, wanting to ensure that this was an age-appropriate movie for my nieces and nephew, Carr and I sat down together to would think that with a licensed professional counselor and a pastor, we would make good filters for our family gathering. And while this movie certainly tackled some of life's changing issues, we both thought our nieces and nephew would enjoy the otherwise benign adventures of Carl and Russell. And remember the dog? Doug. Yes, I remember. Doug. Sure enough, when it came time to sit down and enjoy the movie, my nieces and nephew were captured by Pixar's depiction of this otherwise imaginary world. So much so that one of the kids exclaimed, "I wish I had a home that could float with balloons." Unfortunately, all this and my crowning achievement of being the Funkle that day took a decisive turn as the emotions and action on the television only intensified. Wanting to watch the rest of the movie, but frightened by the villain, each niece and my nephew clung to a parent awaiting the outcome of Carl and Russell and Doug. And all this unraveled even more with the final battle between good and evil, resulting in two nieces crying, one niece leaving the room, and my nephew emphatically stating at the television, "That is a bad man. That is a bad man." And at that moment, not yet a parent myself, I learned that afternoon how the simple presence of a child can change everything. The simple presence of a child can change everything. And when I consider how drastically my viewpoint of that children's movie changed only with the presence of children, I'm reminded of how infinitely more our lives and our world ought to be impacted by the one called Emmanuel, God with us. So as we once again move through this Christmas season and into the new year, may each one of us truly consider, what are we to do about Christmas beyond the 25th? How does Christ's coming among us change who we are and impact how we live? In other words, what are the areas of my life that I need to surrender to God so that I exhibit more Christ humility? You know, what are those nooks and crannies of our relationships or how we carry ourselves or how we interact with others that we need to surrender so that people see the humility of Christ within us? What are those grudges? What are those hurts that I'm still carrying around that I really need to let go of? That I need to do the tough work of clothing myself with Christ's own willingness to forgive me. Or we might ask ourselves, who must I love and what must I do so that I robe myself more and more with this love that binds everything together. You know, much like I stepped into my office and put this robe on. How might we do that? Where must we do that? So that we are robed with the love that binds all this together. Indeed, what needs to change so that whatever I do or say is more representative of the one whose birth we celebrated on Christmas? Knowing that we will soon embark on a season here at the church to address our hurts, some that occurred as recently as this past spring with Reverend Yum's appointment to Carleton, and other hurts that have taken place some time ago. I wonder what it might look like for us to lean into these virtues together as a faith community. I imagine it'll be some tough work in the midst of it all. But I wonder what it might look like for us as a congregation to earnestly seek and to extend to one another these virtues. The very Christ-like virtues of mercy and of kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love. What might God do in you . What life-changing work might God do in our church, in our community? And knowing that this church's footprint reaches beyond our community, but across our nation and into the world, what might God do if we forge a path together, leaning into these Christ-like virtues? Clearly, the season of healing comes with a very different sense of anticipation than the season we just completed. Nonetheless, may it come with a similar sense of hope, knowing how life-changing God with us can be. No matter whether in our individual lives or our families, or collectively as a congregation, may these virtues we thought about this morning be apparent inside of us, as well as on the outside. So that, yes, whatever we do or say, we do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him, through God the Father. By doing so, we'll have answered the question, what are we to do about Christmas? beyond the 25th. Amen? Amen. I invite us now to enter into a spirit of prayer as we pray with one another. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, as we take a deep breath from the hurried pace of Advent and of our Christmas celebrations, and as we take a deep breath before the coming of the new year, once again, we invite you anew into our lives. Lord, just as Jesus had come to dwell among us in Bethlehem so long ago, we invite his presence into our lives again. And Lord, whether it's human nature whether it is the ways of our world, whether it's the choices we make, quite often indeed, O Lord, we sometimes lose sight the presence with Christ with us. And we lean on our own understanding, or perhaps our own ways, or what we've placed as virtues into our lives. And we miss out on representing you. We thank you, O Lord, for the gift of your grace, your gift that allows us to lay aside that which leads us astray, that which entangles us, that which we carry with regret. And indeed, O Lord, we pray for the work of the Holy Spirit, that you would awaken in us again those virtues that draw us closer to you. Indeed, O Lord, we pray for this work in our homes, in our relationships, our community, and indeed the world. And in this season that we invite in as a congregation, we pray for these virtues as we seek your healing. We pray that you might begin a work in us even before we know it. We pray this for one another. We pray this for the church, knowing that you are good. Indeed, O Lord, as the world fixes its eyes now on a new year, we pray for the work of the Holy Spirit, that more and more of this world might know the good news that you came to bring, that more and more this world and every corner of the creation would point us to your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name, whose presence we celebrate as Emmanuel, God with us. We pray this in praying the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able, and to join us for our closing hymn, Let There Be Peace on Earth, found on page 431 of the hymnal. A wonderful picture to envision, yes? Peace on earth. And so you might be asking, okay, I'm on board. I want more of Christ in me. Where do I start? I wonder if it starts with simply asking the Holy Spirit in this week coming into your life. Inviting him to do whatever work God needs to do in your life. Just make that your prayer every morning or in the evening. And you might be thinking, that's too simple, right? I know some of us are thinking it's New Year's, resolutions and all that. That's like saying, go sign up for a gym membership, all right? That might be the same mindset. Were it not for what God did in my life, some 6, 7, 8 years ago, I had a friend come over and say, hey, why don't you start a gym membership? All right, sign me up. Planet Fitness, right? What is $1 a month? God did a wonderful work in me through that simple conversation. And so what might God do in your life now or this year if you simply start your year praying this week? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen? Amen. Amen.